You're listening to Polish Radio External Service broadcasting from Warsaw. I'm Joanna Neifeld, welcoming you to another episode of Chat and Serious. On this show, we chat with fascinating guests and we discuss serious issues concerning the public life in Poland. Stay tuned to meet my today's guest, Paweł Zuchniewicz. In the studio with me today is Paweł Zuchniewicz, who is a journalist, a writer, and a radio reporter. But most importantly for us today, he is one of the top specialists in Poland on John Paul II. Paweł Zuchniewicz has written a number of books on John Paul II, including a novel about the early life of Karol Wojtyła, an illustrated biography, and other publications, most recently a book on the miracles of John Paul II. And he was also covering numerous JP2 events for various media, also for the Polish radio, I guess.
Yes.
And these included World Youth Days in Częstochowa, Denver, Manila, Paris, Rome, Toronto, and obviously the pilgrimages on John Paul II to Poland, to his homeland. And privately, he is a husband and a father of three lovely daughters.
I hope lovely.
Thank you for finding the time to accept the invitation.
Thank you for the invitation. When you are talking about all those trips and also for the Polish radio, I thought about one trip to the United States in 93.
Was that Denver?
Yes, Denver, Colorado. It was the first World Youth Day for me outside Poland, because the very first one for me it was in Jasna Góra, Częstochowa. I thought in Jasna Góra, among those throngs of people, that maybe if I go to Denver, I would have this possibility to be a little bit closer to the Holy Father, because it would be maybe not so numerous. I tried very hard, and on the final day, we journalists, we went to a big national park outside Denver. We were waiting for the opening of the ceremony at night. The Pope came with the helicopter and made a big tour around people. I saw bodyguards coming on the right side of our sector, and I thought maybe Pope would come this way. I made my way to be close to the front, and yes, he did, and I had to go many thousand kilometers Poland to meet him personally, eye to eye, face to face.
And so that was the first?
Yes, the very first time. 1 year later, I went to Rome. I happened to be at the audience with the Holy Father. Mm-hmm. They say private audience, of course, 400 people. But when he approached our small group, he looked at me and he told, "I saw you somewhere." 1 year later.
Well, yeah, I know they say he had really, you know, incredible memory for faces, right, exactly.
What is incredible is that when you were among even 4 million people, it happened to me when we went to Manila to cover the 10th World Youth Day.
4 million
there
people.
Were more there were more than 4 million people.
Young people on the World Youth Day in Manila.
Yes. It's absolutely
it's out of this world completely.
So, but what is important that you feel that he is speaking personally to you.
That's what many people say, yeah.
It was an experience that lasted all the time.
But coming back to the beginnings, was there a particular point in your life when you said to yourself, in my professional life, I want to cover the life of John Paul II?
It came to me simply.
Was it sudden or was it gradual?
It was gradual. When I first participated in ceremony with the Holy Father, it was the very first day of his very first pilgrimage to Poland, the 2nd of June 1979. I was 18 years old and I vaguely knew that I want to be a journalist. Then, when I came here to Polish Radio, it came this World Youth Days, and I really tried very much to cover it because I knew that people in Poland didn't have this experience of a certain global event, intercultural, intergenerational even, very colorful of course.
Something I really want to ask you because I find it hard to comprehend. I've been to some papal events. I've seen him in the Vatican and I was here in Poland when he died and when we had millions of people coming out on the streets every day and night, gathering spontaneously to pray together. Indescribable atmosphere. For me personally, and I'm sure for very many other people, this was such an intensive experience to be there in the middle of this crowd. Such an intensive, personal, I could even say intimate experience. that I'm very glad that I did not have to work back then as a reporter, standing in the middle of this crowd, in addition to just being part of it and experiencing it, that I did not have to, you know, suddenly start to work because you have to report. I mean, how do you make this distinction that, right, I'm here and I'm experiencing this, but right now I have to report for the Polish radio?
No distinction at all. The Pope worked and he worked hard. It was another discovery.
This responsibility, this burden that you have to tell people what's happening in Poland, you know, after the Pope died.
It was a very special moment for us journalists too. We had tears in our eyes, but we still had to be professional. So what we discovered was that as journalists, you can give another people this atmosphere, this message. You must live it in a way to be able to give the truth. We saw the Pope in his truth of dying, of suffering, of working until the end.
Can you name any part of his teaching that is most important to you?
His teaching that is the most prominent is that it goes along with his deeds, how he treated people, how he treated God.
So he practiced what he preached.
He taught how to laugh. Also how to laugh in a human way. The laugh and the truth. It was something very important in his teaching. The truth was and is, as he said, that there is a certain order that you are to discover to be really full human being. Of course, there are 10 commandments. There is a commandment of love. And in his own life, this truth was very much visible until the last days. We say in Poland that your death is like your life. He tried to be with people until the end. He tried to serve until the end. He longed so much to be with people that it was not very important for him to look nice. Something was more important. And he tried very hard to be at this post until the end. And it was a school of life and love until the end for everyone.
Before this program, I talked to some young people from Warsaw. They're all in their 20s. And I asked them basically what John Paul II and his teaching means to them. And I'd like you to listen to those clips.
The media was picturing him as an old guy without touch with reality. But it's ridiculous. For me personally, he was one of the coolest guys in the world because he was a father, in fact, and he was a friend. He was one of us. He taught us everything, how to live, how to pray, but in fact he was also teaching us how to sing and how to having fun. His teaching is difficult, it's demanding, but I think it's worth that. He showed us that the sainthood is not something abstract out of reality. It's real life and it can be done, and he showed us the way.
He taught us. He was a teacher, how to live, how to pray. He was among us, one of us. He prayed very authentically. I knew agnostic journalists who were amazed by his prayer.
And about journalists and about the media, like this young man mentioned, do you think the media representation of John Paul II was always accurate?
Well, not always, but we can see now that we are on a way of discovery. Maybe the Pope taught us also this, that you can discover, and I will patiently wait. Once he was asked, Holy Father, how do you feel? And the response is, well, I don't know, I didn't read today newspaper. So he was very patient with journalists. And maybe we saw this final outcome, that journalists were very patient finally with him. And something really changed that 2nd of April, not only in Poland.
Can we have another clip now?
He was a father of our people. He united Poles when he visited our country, but also when he died. I was in Krakow in the day of Pope's funeral, and I saw that there are symbols and values that unite us. After the death of Pope, I just pay much attention on the words that Pope says, and it's for me a great continuation of talking about faith and reason. For me as a student, it's very important.
If you were to say in one sentence, what did John Paul II do for Poland?
Well, father, this is a key word. A man who is with us, for us, and we all share. He taught us how to share, how to be a community, how to be together. together, not only in Poland, but in Poland it was very much visible. Every time Pope came to Poland, delinquency dropped. The alcoholism dropped. You don't do certain things when your father looks at you. Not because you are afraid of him, but because you don't want to hurt him.
Faith and reason, she mentioned.
Yes, faith and reason, his 10th encyclical. He let us discover that there is no contradiction between faith and reason.
We have one more.
Well, this is the only pope I knew in my lifetime. I remember many of his encyclicals. I used to read them as a child. I guess I was 14 when I read Evangelium Vitae. It had a great impact for me. It was kind of intellectual basis for me. And besides, the very person of John Paul II, a witness to real Christianity, you could say he was a father. I find that what was most important for him was what he said just after he was elected. Don't be afraid of Christ. Open your hearts to Christ. Let society open to Christ. Don't be afraid of him. Just don't be afraid in general. This was his message, I believe.
Yes, he was not afraid of life.
And is the world less afraid of Christ after JP2?
Well, I hope there are more courageous people who are not afraid of life. I know a couple, they were expecting child. The child was very sick, and after the birth, one day later, the child died. Very traumatic experience for them. But they courageously confronted the situation. I think that something touched them very much, maybe after the life and death of the Pope.
Young people worldwide love JP2.
Well, young people, they felt being loved by JP2. And maybe that is the key of this generation JP2 question. He wanted to make those people closer to God, to let them discover their whole humanity and their whole spirituality that was sometimes very deep inside them.
So we'll come back after the break to talk about the beatification process of John Paul II. And in the meantime, let's relax to the sounds of what Paweł Zuchniewicz chose for us.
The Pope always said that something very remarkable for a human being is this capability of being amazed. Animals can communicate, but only human being can be amazed by something wonderful, by something beautiful. And he showed us how to be amazed. So amazing grace.
Appear the hour.
And we're back after the break to chat in series where Joanna Neifeld is the host and my guest today is Paweł Zuchniewicz, journalist, reporter, writer, who has devoted his professional life to a large extent to the life of John Paul II, the late Polish Pope. Before I asked a straightforward question, when is the beatification coming up? Let's remind our listeners who are not familiar with the Catholic Church what we're talking about. Very briefly, what is beatification and canonization? When somebody dies, the church may declare this person a saint, but does the church actually make someone a saint?
Well, in church we have more than 1 billion souls, we can say.
On earth. Because,
so, yeah. Yes, on earth. So as a church, they think that this man is saint. And the second thing is, does God think the same way? So the beatification process is to be sure if this person is really in heaven, so is saint.
So the church is basically investigating what God's decision on this is.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
And by various means. Very briefly, what are the steps? What is the process like?
You must examine many things, his life and his work, what other people thought about him. And then you must have the sign from God that really he is with me.
And those signs can be...
It's a miracle that is very carefully examined. And when they say that it's really a miracle, the doctors and the theologians, well, the Pope has the way open to declare someone a saint person.
How many saints are there in the church right now, declared official saints, roughly?
Thousands. John Paul II beatified more than 1,000 and canonized about 500. So
he really did revolutionize this idea of sainthood.
Well, making so many saints was a little bit controversial, but he wanted to make a clear sign that to live close to God, because this is sainthood, not to be without a sin, but to live close to God and to convert
every day. Fall,
yes,
right.
So it's accessible for everyone.
Formally, how advanced is the beatification process of John Paul II right now? What stage is it in?
Well, all the materials are now collected in the Congregation for Sainthood. It's kind of department or ministry that takes care of saints.
When can we expect that it's going to be, you know, wrapped up and the Pope sets the date?
Let me answer you this way. If we ask this question in November 2004, a few months before his death, when will he die? It's the same kind of a question. We know now that he died in a very proper time. And the same answer we can give to this question now. I don't think it's a matter of 600 years that with Saint Hedwig, Polish saint.
Okay, so less than 600 years.
Although the church is eternal.
We've already had this miracle and it's been confirmed, right? Just a couple words about this miracle, because you wrote a whole book on miracles of John Paul II, right?
Yes, very interesting that this miracle that is chosen to the process happened exactly 2 months after the death of the Holy Father, so the 2nd of June. A French nun, she was sick with Parkinson's disease.
So the same disease that the Pope had.
Yes, the same sickness. She was a very, very, very feeble state. She asked her superior to let her off her duties. So the superior said John Paul II did not say the last word. And this night, about 9:30,
the hour of the death of John Paul II,
she felt the urge to write. Her hand was almost completely paralyzed with the sickness. But she managed to write quite easily.
What did she write?
I don't know. But she started to write. And then she went to sleep. After a few hours, she woke and she felt this urge to pray with mysteries that were added by the Holy Father to the rosary. So
the luminous mysteries.
Yes, right? Luminous mysteries. And then there was a Holy Mass. And after the Holy Mass, she felt completely cured.
Wow.
Completely. So it's really full of signs. Her name is Marie Simone Pierre. It's in French, Mary, Simon, and Peter. So Simon Peter is the name of the first pope.
This is so fascinating. We could go on for hours, but, you know...
Well, time why not?
Yeah, we can. We could actually do a series on this. I'm willing, but yeah, today time is not on our side. And, what can I say? I mean,
we can say one thing. The liberty is not only to do what we want to do, but also to know when to stop.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much.
And thank you for the invitation. And thanks for listening to us.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. And please tune in again in 2 weeks, same time, for Chatting Serious with Jonna Neifeld and another fascinating guest.